You can imagine the scene in today's gospel. We're in Luke chapter 14. Jesus is traveling with a huge crowd, a crowd that continues to increase in size as his popularity is on the rise. And you can feel the energy. There's this growing expectation who this Jesus of Nazareth is going to be. And yet, in today's gospel, Jesus turns to the crowd and addresses them, as Luke writes, and says very, very dramatic and difficult things. Almost you can read between the lines just to see, I wonder how many people, after I say this, are going to say, that was fun. I think I'm going back to what I used to do. He says, if you do not hate your father or mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, even those words alone already would have been shocking to the hearers. Why? Because remember, crucifixion was considered to be, if not the worst, one of the worst ways to die. And Jesus is saying, hey, if you want to be part of this gang, you want to be part of the group, you want to be part of discipleship, well, this is what's going to have to happen. I mean, you know, this is not good marketing from a worldly point of view, right? You say, you want to be a part of our group, you're going to suffer. You're not willing to do this and that, you better be ready to take this all on. And the word discipleship is key here, because the word discipleship comes from the word discipulus, which means student. But you notice here, this is not studying an academic subject like many of us have gone through in many cases for years. But rather, this discipleship, this discipulus, is becoming a student, is far greater an investment. It means actually entering into the very life of the master, into the teacher. You know, our discipleship in Christ isn't supposed to treat our Catholicism like a subject that ends in another ism or any other subject that we've studied. It actually beckons us into a life in Christ, so much so that as the church's theology unfolds through the centuries, we're going to start using words like deification and divinization, which is not simply being a follower of Jesus like you would be a Facebook follower of a particular person that's trending, but rather you are going to take on his very life so that his mind, his attitudes, his words, his actions become your own. There would be no separation then, that we become another Christ. This is a remarkable, remarkable invitation. But you notice what our Lord says here. He knows human nature. He knows it all too well. He knows our fallen state. Because in other places in the scriptures, you're going to hear him say things like, you cannot serve both God and mammon. You cannot put your hand to the plow and look back. Either you're all in or you're not in at all. There is no halfway with me. And I will not take second place to anyone or anything if you want to be my disciple. And many people I have encountered over the years, when they come face to face with this reality and they begin counting the cost and realize that the cost is too high, they fall away. Jesus will go to the most radical of extremes in this regard in John chapter 6 when he teaches on the Eucharist, the Bread of Life discourse. In fact, John 6, verse 66, says, after Jesus taught about the Eucharist, many of his disciples no longer stayed with him, and they returned to their former way of life. So our blessed Lord is well aware. The call is universal. Many are called, but few will actually follow in the manner in which he demands. And he doesn't demand in an overbearing, oppressive way. It's always invitation, completely respecting our freedom and our human agency. There's a certain romance, if you like, in being called to this discipleship. And notice the other examples that Jesus uses about counting the cost of discipleship. You may ask yourself, have you paid that price? And if you have not, would you be willing to in the future? Because sooner or later, decisions will need to be made. And heroically, I run into many people in our midst, even in this from this particular Mass, who have made very difficult decisions. They took these words to heart. These are the parents, for instance, who don't go to their child's wedding because the child is not marrying in the church. They said, don't make me choose between God, the church, and you and your fiancé. These are the seminarians who I have accompanied for over a dozen years in various places, who, coming to grips and a true, genuine self-awareness, realize that this is not for them, and they discern out. But I'll close today with a story of a woman I knew in my first assignment. I'll change her name to protect her anonymity or privacy. You know, she may hear this homily after all. When I was newly ordained, I was in charge of teaching OCIA, which, by the way, throughout my years as a priest has been one of the great things that has always animated and given me life, the capacity to accompany people in their journey to full communion with the Catholic Church, or in some cases with catechumens to be baptized. It's really a remarkable thing because you're really seeing, you have a front row seat to the workings of grace. It's really remarkable. And if you've ever worked in this ministry, I know many of you are sitting here this morning already do and know what this is like, you know what I mean. So one of the women in my first, that back then we called it RCIA, it wasn't that long ago, we called it RCIA. She was a typical wealthy, suburban, professional slash housewife. The 2.5 kids, the beautiful home, the legal profession on the rise, the Lexus SUV, everything every morning was Dean and DeLuca and Balducci's and just everything's high end. You know, for all intents and purposes, most people would say, wow, living the dream, the woman that can have it all. So she goes into RCIA, and I'm teaching the whole thing, and we come up against contraception. She was flabbergasted that I made no apologies for the church's teaching and what we as Catholics believe about contraception. So after Mass, she says, I need to see you one day. And I said, okay. So we had a series of appointments, 4, 5, 6 appointments. And I think she was trying to convince me we as the church had it wrong. Okay, which is, you know, the hubris of people who've never been told no in their lives, having a sense of entitlement that everything kind of has to work on my terms, not on Jesus's terms. And so I told her, again, this is her pseudonym, Christina, maybe it's not time for you to become Catholic right now. She was insulted beyond belief. No one ever tells me I can't have what I want. And I said, I'm not saying no, I'm just saying maybe not yet. You need time. This takes time because you're reprogramming an entire worldview, and becoming Catholic is not just the difference between where you put money in the collection plate on Sunday. It's taking on an entire life in Christ, deification, divinization. This is what we're getting called to. And if you're not ready to make that change, that conversion, maybe we should delay. The year passed. She did not become Catholic. I didn't hear from her very often. I'd hear about her through mutual friends. And then I got transferred. Never heard from her again. Then the next fall, 2 years later, I was at my college reunion. And I did not realize it at the time, but she was married to one of my college classmates. I didn't really figure that all out. Anyway, long story short, at our reunion, our 5th year reunion, She walks into the reunion with her husband, my classmate, in her arms, a baby. And I said to her, Christina, hello. And she looked at me with eyes of sort of, I hate you, but I love you. Right? Because she said, you were right about the cost in the gospel today. Luke chapter 14. You're right. I had to let go of my preferences and be open to the possibility of what God wanted to do in our marriage. And so, Father, you won. I said, I didn't win. I said, the Lord won, you won, and your daughter won, most importantly. She said, until that point, unwilling to pay the price. And I said, oh, and what a price this is, a beautiful baby girl. Tough life. She says, I know, so foolish. I had it all figured out, all under my control, all under my grasp. And when I finally let go and let God into my life, everything changed. So you see, this concept that Jesus is talking about in our gospel today isn't so foreign, really. And in the case of her daughter, who, by the way, just last week started university. It's been a few years. It can happen to us if we are willing to properly and prudently discern the price of discipleship and then willingly embrace the cross that it demands. So let us pray today that we are equal to this task. Remember, our Lord does not ask us to carry the cross on our own. He is the great accompanier, and he is the one who provides the grace to carry our cross with and for us. Every ounce of it is measured perfectly to our capacity to not simply do whatever we want with our lives, but to truly become his, to become another Christ, and truly look him in the face at the end of our lives, knowing that, in fact, we have become disciples. May he be praised both now and forever. Amen.